from Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News starts right now. On today's broadcast, the nationwide heatwave alert is raised to the second highest level. Top officials from South Korea and the US discuss a possible price cap on Russian oil. And rail services resume after an SRT derailment in Daejeon. This is KBS World Radio News. I'm Jim Bully. The Ministry of Interior and Safety has raised the country's heatwave risk alert to the second highest, orange, on the four-tier scheme as of noon Saturday. This year's orange alert comes 18 days earlier than last year, which saw the alert issued on July 20th. Heatwave advisories have been issued in 164 of the 178 regions across the country, and some 82 regions will see the heat index, the temperature that people actually feel, surpass 33 degrees Celsius during the day throughout the weekend due to the humidity. The country's four-tier heatwave alert consists of blue, yellow, orange and red. Orange is issued when 40% of the regions are expected to have at least three consecutive days when people feel the daytime high to be over 33 degrees. The ministry ordered related ministries and local governments to take measures to protect those vulnerable to heat, including those working outdoors. An official from the Interior Ministry called for the public to refrain from outdoor activities and drink a lot of water during a heatwave. Meanwhile, with heatwave alerts issued across the country, cloudy skies are forecast nationwide Saturday, with inland areas seeing showers through the evening. In some regions, the rain will bring gusty winds, lightning or hail. Most of the country saw temperatures rise above 30 degrees Celsius from the morning, with daytime highs forecast between 28 and 36 degrees. Daegu will see the mercury level rise to 36 degrees. On Sunday, partially cloudy skies are expected in the central region, while overcast conditions will persist in southern areas and Jeju Island, where sporadic rain is also forecast from the afternoon. Jeju will see 10 to 40 millimetres of precipitation, and the southern areas 5 to 20. The sweltering weather will continue Sunday, with morning lows ranging from 21 to 26 degrees, including 24 forecast in Seoul. Afternoon highs will be similar to Saturday, with 35 degrees expected in Daegu and 33 in Seoul. Top officials of South Korea and the US held talks to discuss a US-led proposal to impose a price cap on Russian oil and Seoul's potential participation. In a press release, the finance ministry said Saturday that Finance Minister Chu Kyung-ho and US Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen held a conference call on Friday night. According to the ministry, Yellen mentioned the need to introduce a price cap on Russian oil in a bid to stabilize high energy prices and also to reduce Moscow's oil revenue. She explained how related discussions were proceeding in the international community, including the group of seven member countries. In response, Chu said he understands the intent of the price cap, noting that South Korea also faces inflationary pressure amid rising global oil costs. He asked the US to share details on the price cap introduction as soon as an action plan is drafted. The officials also recognized how the two sides have maintained close coordination on various economic issues, as well as sanctions on Russia, and agreed to continue such cooperation. Chu and Yellen will meet face-to-face when the Treasury Secretary visits Seoul later this month. Both will attend the Group of 20 Finance Ministers meeting in Indonesia in mid-July. North Korea has protested the Group of Seven leaders' denunciation of its missile launches and defended the act as exercising its legitimate right to self-defense. According to the North Korean Central News Agency, Cho Chol-soo, head of the Foreign Ministry Bureau on International Organizations, said that stepping up self-defense is a justified, legitimate action to defend sovereign rights and interest against the threat posed by the U.S., the world's largest nuclear power and a destroyer of global peace and safety. Referring to the U.S., Cho said the country spends an astronomical amount of money in developing and selling murderous equipment and does not hesitate to transfer nuclear technology in order to realize its hegemonic ambitions. The official said the aristocratic G7 group has no right whatsoever to call itself a defender of human rights and global order or lead the international community and give instructions to other countries. Cho said the G7 has created double standards, and for them to tell others to do this and that is mockery and an insult. In a joint statement following a three-day summit in Germany this week, leaders of the seven advanced economies said they strongly condemn North Korea's continued and illegal ballistic missile test launches and urged the regime to resume dialogue toward a complete denuclearization.
You're now listening to the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul, Korea.
Ruling People Power Party floor leader Kwang Sung-dong said he will hold closed-door talks with his main opposition counterpart over the weekend to discuss the formation of a new parliament. Returning from the Philippines early Saturday, where he attended President Marcos's inauguration ceremony as presidential envoy, Kwon said he will meet with Democratic Party floor leader Park Hong-gun this weekend to explore ways to reach an agreement on the election of assembly leaders and committee chairs. He said that he proposed talks and the DP responded, and a closed-door meeting is scheduled as the DP preferred that format. Kwon also reiterated the PPP's opposition to the DP's plan to unilaterally convene a plenary session to elect a parliamentary speaker. On the controversy surrounding President Yoon's nominees for health and education ministers, the floor leader said they need to be heard through confirmation hearings. He vowed to swiftly conclude negotiations with the opposition bloc so the nominees can be vetted through the hearings. The number of new COVID-19 cases bounced back over 10,000 on Saturday. The Korea Disease Control and Prevention Agency said Saturday that 10,715 infections were reported throughout Friday, including 173 from overseas. The tally is up by more than 1,000 from the previous day and almost 4,000 from a week ago. Of the new cases, those aged 60 and older account for over 13% and minors 18 and younger 19.5%. The country's cumulative caseload stands at 18,379,552. The number of critically or seriously ill hospitalized patients has edged down by 3 from the previous day to 53. Friday added 7 deaths, raising the death toll to 24,562. The overall fatality rate remains at 0.13%. The Transport Ministry says that restoration work has been completed following a high-speed super-rapid train derailment that occurred on Friday. As of 7:13 a.m. Saturday, all rail services have fully resumed on the affected Gyeongbu Line section from Daejeon to Osung. Following the accident that took place at the train station in Daejeon at around 3:20 p.m. Friday, the Ministry activated a situation room and sought cooperation from the Korea Railroad Corporation and other agencies. All tracks were back in operation by 7 a.m. Saturday. Transport Minister Won Hee-rong visited Seoul Station late Friday night to examine the situation and meet with passengers, offering an apology and promising that similar incidents will not happen again. An SRT bullet train which departed from southern port city Busan headed to Suso in southern Seoul veered off the tracks near Jochajang Station in Daejeon, leaving 7 people injured. As a result, 14 following high-speed trains were cancelled and passengers had to endure delays of up to 5.5 hours. A second mini-satellite released from a performance verification orbiter mounted on the recently launched homegrown space rocket Nuri has transmitted a signal to a ground station in Daejeon. According to the Science Ministry and the Korea Advanced Institute of Science and Technology, KAIST's ground station in Daejeon received the first beacon signal from the CubeSat satellite, or CubeSat, named Randev, at 3:42 a.m. Saturday. The satellite, developed by a KAIST team, successfully separated from the performance verification orbiter at 4:38 p.m. Friday. The team has since received a dozen beacon signals through the ground station, and the signals confirm the satellite's voltage and temperature are all normal. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul. I'm Jim Bulley.